This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, you are listening to Love Sport, and this is the Chelsea Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast. Stamford Chidge, we're awaiting Jonathan Kidd. He's not arrived just yet.
Maybe
so
not.
So he might be here. Wait for the door to crash against the wall as he bounds in shouting, Kiddo. But more importantly, Mr. Paul Cannaville joins us this week as well. How are you, Paul?
Good evening. How are we doing?
Very good, thank you. Ex-Chelsea good. Player, of course. Good. Those are the dulcet tones
legend, mate.
Of Paul Cannaville.
Legend.
I should label him a legend, shouldn't I? I should do.
He is.
Absolutely. If you want to speak to Paul, it's very easy to do so. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well. Or tweet us, if you like, at Love Sport Radio. Guys, it's Friday night. The Premier League returns tomorrow.
Hooray!
Chidgey, I imagine you are thrilled to bits with this news.
I am, actually. I mean, I'm less meh about international football as I used to be, largely because there's so many Chelsea players playing for England these days, or ought to be playing for England. But I do miss the Premier League. I'm very excited to have it all back. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff, Matt. Isn't that fantastic?
It's been a long time.
The trouble is, Paul, I haven't told you. Yeah, I know. We don't get enough of them, mate.
Yeah.
And the trouble is, I'm going to have to be on the 8:18 train from Winchester tomorrow because I have a Supporters Trust board meeting at 9:30.
Wow. No.
Yes. So it's
before
a long day.
Before the game?
Yeah, man. We're hardcore. Things we do for this club. Matt is looking astonished.
Is that in a pub, like beers from 9:30?
I believe it is, but apparently, we'll be off the sauce.
Yep.
We're doing business, Paul. We'll be off the sauce, but we are getting breakfast thrown
never
in. Apparently,
stopped you. Come on there.
No, I might squeeze one down, please. But you know, I might wait till 11 though.
Paul, on that 3 p.m. kickoff, you played in the 80s. I suppose in terms of playing other than 3 p.m, the occasional midweek game, but it was more alien to you back then.
You know what? It's funny how they've changed some of the games, even playing on a Friday.
Yeah, you did, Man
Friday
City.
Was wick. Yeah,
yeah,
I did,
there
Man
you
City.
Go.
But Saturday, that was tradition.
Yeah.
All games, like from school days, Saturday
3 o'clock.
Was 3 o'clock. So you got that in professional now at Stamford Bridge. It was 3 o'clock on Saturday. You had your rituals, you met up 11:30, you had your chicken and beans, got that ready, got your team talk, get back to the ground, and got changed. 3 o'clock kickoff. But these days, like, certain games are now in the evening. I didn't mind in the evening. For some reason, whether it was summer, it was warm, but it was a temperature that was just mild for me. And obviously, if the surface was right, if it was a drizzle of rain, ideal for every winger like myself. Mm. I enjoyed it, but I did love 3 o'clock kickoffs. It was something that
sacrosanct.
Chicken and beans. By the way, was that religious chicken and beans
for
every
me,
week?
It dissolved quick, and that was for me at least a good 2 hours before the game. And that was just something that you burnt on.
Did you know you've got something in common with Alan Shearer then?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, chicken and beans. That's what he was. Yeah, that was his chosen pre-match meal.
Quite a few people had that. Don't get me wrong.
Pasta?
No, pasta didn't do nothing for me. It was the chicken. It burnt off the beans. Burnt off easy.
Okay.
Quite easily. And it didn't leave you heavy. It left you light, so
that's where I went wrong all these years. a couple of pints of Stella and a packet of fags quite the pre-match. It didn't really work.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you're right, Shearer had that, but I remember. I think it was '98 where Glenn Hoddle he took it off the diet plan.
Did he really?
Beans. He was like, "We're not going to have baked beans anymore,"
right?
Because
he
read something into it in terms of the nutritional value that it gave you. But I imagine if you walked into a club now, a Premier League club, in fact, any of the four tiers of English football, and said, "I want chicken and beans," they probably wouldn't let you have it.
No. I've seen a connection when I did a little wire ban at Cobham itself. Sorry, I'm not going to even give no information. But I saw the fish, I saw the pasta, I saw the little rice. I mean, definitely.
They really look after it,
don't they? Look after it. Like, I'm thinking back then, God, suppose I was given that food. How long would I have lasted? Trust me, I think what it was at that time when we was playing, because you had so much time on your hands, we trained at 10 and was finished by 12:30. It's like you went and did something, you got hungry, but what were you supposed to eat? It was like takeaways. Yeah. And it was like McDonald's. It was honestly, for me, it was McDonald's. And I never realised that later on, I started to get a bit heavier. And I found out that I got heavier because I wasn't moving more legibly. Well, moving in so heavily, to be honest, where I was supposed to take on a player. And I know I'm quicker than him, but he was still there.
Mm.
So, what Glenn brought in, don't get me wrong, the boys in. When Glenn brought in, don't get me wrong, when I heard that, I think it was ideal. I wish that would have happened early on for us as pros back then in the 80s. I think a lot of, not more difference for the players you would have seen, being fit, really fit. Ideal, don't get me wrong, what you did at training at Harlan and in pre-season. I think it was either you individually knew how to look after yourself or your body, but it could go away with it if you wasn't told or shown exactly what to eat. And again, especially on match days, even before match days. I mean, I remember times we used to go away, travelling away in a hotel for the game on Saturday and Friday night. It was a plate that looked like it was a mountain. We'd fill it up like that, and you ate that from the night before.
And no one said anything?
Nobody said that. If you ever saw Dougie's plate, oh, my God.
How much did Dougie eat?
Oh, boy, that was a mountain. It was, like, huge. Up here. And he
was a big boy, wouldn't he,
be fair? You'd think that might have been so much, don't get me wrong, to eat, that the night before, you don't know, because I'm now, these days, as we get older, you eat over too much, you just feel bloated, don't you? Mm. And next day you feel, oh my God. Yeah. But
see,
that's how
I never eat before a radio
show.
Metabolism,
isn't it? So it must have been burning up. Yes.
I don't. I might have a pint or two, but never eat anything. Don't want to be bloated for the show, mate.
So, kid.
Case you heard any kerfuffle over the airwaves, that's because a certain diminutive gentleman was strolling into the studio, and that diminutive gentleman is Mr. Jonathan Kidd. How are we, Kidd?
We're a bit fraught. Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, your tube was a bit tricky.
Was it?
Yeah.
Were you
not
battling
the XR lot?
You've been battling the Extinction Rebellion lot. You've been pulling them off any tubes, Jonathan.
Foolishly, I went onto the Jubilee line.
Did you?
Dole.
Yeah, it can be a real...
This is your
Yeah.
Dole. No, tonight, no.
Oh, is it? It can be tricky this time.
Oh, right,
how's your leg?
Oh...
You haven't heard the saga of the leg, have you, Matt?
Oh, crikey.
Matt's looking a bit worried already.
No, it'll go on and on.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I was worried about you on
Monday. No, me too. I was worried as well.
Yeah. He nearly missed the show because he had to go in A&E.
Yeah, I went to A&E. I went to a place where they said, we're only doing triage, they said. I said, but what if we find out that there's something wrong with me? Oh, you'll have to go to hospital. I said, well, I might as well go to hospital then. She said, I don't know anything. I'm only a receptionist. I said, oh, but then why leave me up the garden path and then just leave me there?
So. And he basically said, oh, I might as well go home and do the fan
cast. Yes, exactly. I thought, if I, you know, if anything happens.
If I die during the show,
exactly,
it'll be
that's
entertaining.
What I said. I said exactly. It'll be the best thing to do, die doing a podcast.
There you go. Die with your boots on, mate. So there you go.
There you go.
But apart from that, I'm here now.
Good. Lovely to
with
see
with the wonderful
you.
Canners.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Always with a great hat.
Always with a great hat.
Always with a great hat.
I try to make that effort. You know?
Yeah, everybody at home is wearing a black Peaky Blinders hat.
They can see it.
Peakers!
Well, they can see it, can't they? Of course,
because remember, we're
we've
on
cameras.
You know,
yeah, we've got cameras.
Everybody's programmed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Peaky's Blinders, mate.
Yeah, great hat. And a great T-shirt, of course, as well. Show races on the red card.
Yeah, today is Red Wear Day. And I did have one read, because I had an interview before, and it was from Love Music, Hate Racism.
Yeah.
It was a red one, and trust me, it's really hard to put on my skin, kind of thing, red.
Well, I never
red.
Wear red, mate.
That's what I'm telling you, it was really hard, and so I took that one off, because it was just, I couldn't, and I put this one back on, and it shows, you know, I mean, they do a lot of work, not just them, and kick
so
it out.
What was this for today? It's Show Race from Red Card.
Show Race from Wear Red Day today. Okay. If anybody was wearing red. Even, it's funny, you know, I saw the leader, the chairman, oh God, I may forget his name, of Kick It Out. He even contributed today as well. So that showed that. Team.
Bit of solidarity.
Yeah, solidarity.
Yeah, I saw
word.
A tweet from Frank Sinclair as well.
Yeah,
he had
Frank
his T-shirt on.
Loved that one.
Yeah.
Nice T-shirt, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, no, when I saw it, I was going on that, so I've got two.
Even if it's got a bit of red on it, it's a nice T-shirt.
It's not a bad T-shirt.
No, I'm liking that.
So I've got my T-shirt, you see, witnesses, they've seen it.
It's got it.
Told
but it's got a bit of red on it, though.
But it's okay, I think for a good cause, mate.
Yeah, that's true. But
it's a good cause.
My daughter said, oh, Daddy, can we buy a car, a red car? I said, what are you saying? What? Yeah. You don't like red, do you, Daddy? No. And she also said, Daddy, where are you going on a Saturday afternoon? I said, I'm going to watch the football. And she said, again? I said, that's what you do.
I've finally won the battle with my wife. We've had a red door for about 25 years, and I finally got her to get a new door that's not red.
So you could paint it.
Yeah, well, I could have done
it. It's so restrictive to life, though. I get it. I get the tribalism of football, but to go throughout your whole life thinking I can't wear anything. So is it just red?
I don't own any red shirts, underpants, socks. You know,
it's weird, isn't it?
Because
it's the two main teams, though, isn't it? Because it's Liverpool and United,
and Arsenal.
Yes, of course.
I'm allowed, and Paul will appreciate this. I allow myself to wear. Clothes with a little bit of red in them, just like Chelsea's kits.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I've got the odd red line
my black
here.
Black socks have
but
little red
totally.
Ends.
Yeah, it can't be too.
So there you go.
Okay. Boys need to know who you support. Trust me.
We're just bringing it back to the T-shirt, Paul. You know, it's been a very difficult week, I suppose you could say, a tough week in terms of racism and football. The news has obviously come out this week as well that Krasimir Balakov, the Bulgaria coach, has decided to resign from his position as head coach. And this is all after him saying he didn't hear anything.
Unbelievable,
during that game. I mean, when you were watching that, I was actually on radio at the time, and it was just incredible because we couldn't hear what was happening. We could just see it. But what's your take on everything that's happened this week?
I couldn't believe that game. It was tremendous for me to see that kind of behaviour still going on. And deep heart, because watching it, I was thinking, are they not going to do something about it? That's, they can't be playing through that. And I've got to be honest, where we're talking right now, I only found out about the protocol. Yeah,
the three
last
steps.
Last week.
Yeah.
I read it on the Standard, and I went, protocol? And it was funny, before an incident, to start reading that, and that was brought up, and then to know, Monday, hold on, how the fans are treating like this? Why are they going about this? So to see that, I was kind of agreeing with Tammy when he mentioned like they would walk off. Now, for me, don't get me wrong, it's not just the black players, and they're not walking off being militant. It's the whole team.
Yeah.
And I think that was what I saw, what I felt, that the whole team was supportive. Yeah,
yep,
united.
Absolutely.
But it shouldn't be put down to the team, the players, that pressure. It should have been the authorities to make that decision, whether they should come off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I felt like that. That's when I think that they're not being protected enough. Now, this incident happening at Montenegro, where Danny Rose got sent off, obviously, you know what I mean, accepting that the fans had given him so much stick, that UEFA, from there, that was the sign, and you fine 50,000 or whatever. But that to me was the sign. That was about early April, I think, this year. That was the sign itself.
Well, and then was, there was the, when Bulgaria played us at Wembley, Paul, they were doing it there. Their fans, they were giving it there.
And they were just
let
out.
So how are we not realising this and not stepped up?
Well, Paul, I mean, I said it, I don't know if it was this show or the Sunday show I do, but, you know, this whole three protocol nonsense.
Where did that come from? 9 years?
If a team like Bulgaria cannot sort their fans out, don't fine them $50,000, which is paltry.
Why are we doing that?
Kick them out of the tournament, mate.
Well, if you don't
have to
kick them
out. It's
the only
way you're going to stop it.
It's me. Don't kick them out. Keep them there. Mm-hmm. But they're banned. They're not playing no games. But they're going
same,
to be...
That's the same thing.
Well, to me, they're there. Their name, the team is there. The country is there in the league, whatever group they are.
But they can't play.
But they can't play. It's the embarrassment of the rest of the fans seeing their name is right there. But we can't play because of what? It is embarrassing. They got to feel, I feel sorry for them. The genuine fans. But right now, something needs to be done hard. And UEFA ain't doing it again.
No.
And I don't understand this. Don't get me wrong. What is the significance of not... you're a head of an association, UEFA. Now, if they're going above, across policies of behaviour, then how are we supposed to be supporting and feel that we're comfortable if you're not taking up, hold on, and following that punishment? Punishment like that has got to be heard and got to be known. The whole world was watching.
Yep.
The whole world was watching and they're waiting, well, what are you going to do now?
Absolutely.
And you're still doing the same. So what are we going to feel?
Well, there was a statement that saying the UEFA was intrinsically racist, wasn't there? As a, well, as a consequence.
I didn't want to say that.
Nothing
happened.
Institutionally,
I'm not gonna, I honestly weren't going to say that. Yeah. I didn't want to say that to Leon off the start of it, but that's how I feel.
I mean, to the extent that they even, you know, when they made their announcement afterwards that they were going to, you know, come down hard on the Bulgarian authorities, they also charged the FA.
But that was an excuse. They've got to do something.
Just absolutely nuts.
The FA, and if we're going to charge Bulgaria, they're going to find some excuse. I'm
Kick
sorry.
Kick them out.
But when you say that, the manager, that I was so, so upset when interviewing him and he said, "What? Well, I didn't hear nothing." That's even though it's translated, he was like, "You didn't hear
nothing."
No, I took a joke about it because he must have had earplugs. And if he had earplugs, I wish I had the same earplugs when I was playing so I didn't hear the racist call at me. But how he didn't hear it?
Incredible.
What ground was
and
it?
He's actually also come out, you know, he said this was a terrible situation, but once again, first it has to be proven to be true. Staggering comments there.
Leave me.
We will get onto that more with Paul Canaville on the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport with the guys from Chelsea Fancast, Stanford Chidge, Jonathan Kidd,
Kido,
me, Matt Beadle, and we are joined by ex-Chelsea boy, Paul Canaville.
Evening.
Paul, let's talk a bit about your foundation.
Oh, it's been, you know what, it's developed in from strength to strength now. Started in 2015, finding its way. But now, with the new kind of staff, I say staff, but I've got a new chair.
Kaza.
A lovely Caroline Kaza. Rice. I needed to choose somebody to take the pressure off me, and she's been doing such a great job. I hope you're listening to that, Caroline, with your brother and your mum. And Gary Trosdale, man's been such an influence. He's just been helping me so tremendously that it's just got strength for, bigger. And larger, that everybody's now asking what the foundation can do for them.
What does it actually do at the moment?
We go around helping, influencing, resilience, making things happen for these youth. And right now, it's been great for me to go out and motivate. And I'm doing that a lot in schools, universities. And really and truly, I'm making an impact. And I've always said this from the day when I was a TA, teacher's assistant, that there's not enough male teachers in schools. And they need, I keep hearing it, they need male teachers.
Role models.
Role models. Mm. And don't get me wrong, I've gone in as a TA. Don't get me wrong, the teacher's there, she's done her diploma, whatever, to be that teacher. I don't do that. I'm a TA, I know that I can be understood and they can relate with me. Whether you call it street or whatever, I've had that experience where I know I was at school and I didn't take that school serious. So I can reflect now and help this young lad and tell him the reason what happened and why, if you don't. And that's where they can relate with me. And that's where I have their ear. And I'm so enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. It's since coming back at Chelsea, as we were discussing in 2004, it's just got bigger. And it's been, I've been asked, it's like, it's nice to know, I can as well, are you available? Are you free? And yeah, I come down and even speaking to the eldest secondary, still make an influence in there, in the schools there.
You do a fair bit of, I mean, so you do the mentoring, I know about that. There's also some kind of football coaching element in
it. Yes, we do.
But you're also, are you doing some mental health work as well?
Mental health, and homelessness stuff? We're going to get that going on. Young lady, Monica, from Birmingham, lovely woman, and she's getting me involved in that. That for next year, it's definitely going to be so busy. It's the time where you mentioned it just now, Black History is always busy for me, sharing that and going out to establishments and have to show enough, because I still find it hard to accept that they keep calling me legend. And don't get me wrong, right?
We love that silly old sausage.
I know, but don't get me wrong, first of this, I just wanted to be play football. Whatever was broken or achieved, I don't think like that. I didn't realise that until now. And like today, we're talking with Chidge, going over what I did and how I, when I played and
scored the goal. We've been doing a big interview with Paul for another podcast that I'm doing. Yeah, so we were talking in quite granular detail about some of the matches, weren't we?
I didn't realise. You know what I mean? To me, Duncan was like, it reminded me because I didn't remember. And I'm thinking, my God, I was there? I played in that game. And it's like, wow. And so when people said, "Boy, well, you was an influence to me," and I'm like, okay. I still find it hard, but as such, you know what I mean, to be classed as part of history, Black history, I'm just trying to accept it.
So those tags then that you're referring to, so the first Black player to play for Chelsea, of course, Paul Lintz, first Black England captain.
Yes.
Well, we were wondering who because we were talking about this. Was it Laurie Cunningham who was the first Black English player? Or Viv Anderson?
I think it was Viv Anderson. I think it was Viv Anderson. Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was Laurie. Before that, before he left and went to Spain.
Before he went to Madrid.
Yeah. And like at the time when we talked about the game, we've got promotion from second division to first. First game was getting Arsenal, and I'm playing against Viv Anderson.
Yeah. Right.
And I know, I was scared.
Canna's retired him that day.
I like to say, you know what I mean?
Doug Ruby put him into Rose Ed.
A hard time. And I was supposed to be scared. And trust me, I went to sleep that Friday and I think, oh my God, Viv, what am I going to do with him? That guy can't. But I thought I played well. You know what I mean? He wasn't finding it easy, put it like that. But we showed a balance.
You did.
Of a side that just come out from promotion and drawed one all. It was, yeah.
One of my favourite sides.
Foundation, it's been great. I love it. I love what we're doing. And we're giving back. And that's what it's all about as well. Because there's enough that I think ex-players, even today's players, can do. I really, really do. I think they should have given a bit more time. Not just about doing their football or doing their coaching, but they can go out and visit some of the certain schools, because the schools will be a big impact for the kids, because they see these players every day. They're supporting these kids, the sides, and when they see that individual player, oh, yeah, I want to be him. But just to hear his story, whether it's half an hour, 3 quarter hour, is important.
You've got an event tomorrow night, haven't you?
I do.
In North London?
I have a black event, Black History event. And I'm sharing Danny Collindale. I can't remember the dress and I shouldn't have bought it. Sorry.
Don't worry, Patricia, gabble on and I'll find it.
And it's first of this month. It's trust me, I'm a bit nervous as it is already. I've been hitting it, prodding it. I'm trying to promote it. As I did, I can't believe it come out today and he's hit me with it and I can't promote.
They're interviewing you though, aren't
they? Yeah, I know. So
are they showing the documentary as well, you know what they made about you?
Yeah.
Here we go.
That's got all the details. The documentary when I made it.
That the Sky Sports one a few years back.
It was emotional for me, and up to now I don't go and see it. I've never seen it.
You've never watched it back?
I watched it the first time, and that's when I had like Neil Barnett, Trevor Nelson.
Is this the thing at Under the Bridge?
Yeah. No.
The Sky Sports documentary.
Oh, right.
So from since then, I've never shown I've shown it and I've never watched it.
Have you never watched it?
No, I get emotional.
I do you know what? No. I can understand why, though, because, I mean, you've had quite an incredible life, quite a varied life.
Mm.
Do you sometimes feel like if you watch it, you maybe put yourself back in a place where you don't want to be? Is it that, or
no,
is it just too emotional?
It's not. It's just emotional that I went through that.
Yeah.
Mm. And how did I went through that, and why did I go through that? And then I
Has it got your goals
learned.
On it? Your goals on it, though?
And the goals?
Yeah, the goals on it. Yeah, if your goals are on it.
Sky made it, so there's footage.
Surely we're going to... You'd be happy to watch that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, seriously, it does. It really does. Because not taunt me, but it's like I really realised that what I went through, and I'm just thinking, why did I go through that? Yeah. But we was talking with a colleague the other day, and they said, you know what, you've went through enough, Paul, spiralled. I know you're despiralled. I went down, I got drugs, I got cancer, I got mental health, I'm able to talk about it.
That's the key thing,
and that is the main key for you, like you just said. I'm able to share about because I've been there.
Mm.
And when I do talk about it, I'm kind of emotional about it. Mm. And I talk deep from my heart. And
well, from experience.
Yeah,
I mean, Paul, you know, I work in mental health, but I'm not doing stuff like this. And I do counsel a lot of men. And one of the biggest problems is that men cannot and find it really hard to admit their weaknesses and their vulnerabilities and talk about it. And you're right. The fact that you can talk about it
brilliant.
Helps others to
absolutely.
Talk about it.
It's because at stage when I was, because you think, like you just said it, because you're a man, you think that you're inferior.
We lock it all down, mate.
You were talking about role models earlier.
Yeah.
You've become a role model. It's fantastic.
You know what? I keep telling them now, and I show them. I say, look, man, the worst thing about mental health is being in denial.
Yeah.
You have to talk about it.
Yeah.
That is the only way you're going to get some help. If you don't open up, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. You're going to sink. And it's a shame that for you to feel that there's no help out there, there's help. So I'm telling everybody, every man out there, and not just men, women, who suffer like that, please, please, go and seek help. I was a person that wouldn't talk to a counsellor. I thought that I'm not telling my business to anybody.
Mm.
The counsellors are the greatest things, people to help. They will hear what's going through, what's going on with you.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
And they won't judge you.
Nobody. Yeah. It helped me a lot. So it can help you. Yeah.
So when you mention the current players as well, then that you say, you know, it'd be good if they spoke to some of these young lads in school. Do you think in some respects, when you put yourself back in their position, when you were an 18, 19, 20 year old going into professional football, and I don't want to do current footballers a disservice here, but do you think partly they're not perhaps aware of what they should talk about or what they need to convey to these kids? And maybe that after their career, they'll go, oh yeah, do you know what? Perhaps I should start talking to them.
You know what? Because most of the players, all right, coming for a young age, they're 25, but they still would have known about the background of school. They know the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they would, you know what I mean? All right, I understand some are not able to interact with kids or interact with people that they're not able to talk as such, but some of them can do. And I think those who can do would be a great effect if they went out and tried. But it's the case of not just themselves. I think clubs should allow them. That time that they have promoting what kit or sponsors, whatever, I think they've got the time to go out to school to visit with their local school in the community to go and just share with them. And I'm telling you, the kids would take note of this. I know they would. There you come in there and see the faces, oh my gosh, and then hear what he has to say, that individual, come on, man. The day he ain't stopped talking, I'm saying put your eyes, your head down in the books. That boy were putting his head down in the books. Why? Because Terry or whatever player we want to mention, he did it. You know what I mean? They would do that. They would follow suit.
Mm.
Yes, I'm telling you, this should have been done a long time. I don't know. Unless something was happening, I don't know. I've not seen it, not heard it. So
his event tomorrow, you can do your bestest voice.
So,
wait, 1, 2, 3.
Black History Month. Oh, God, I haven't got
You've got a dreadful cold, mate.
Voice. I have, I'm
Is it
bad.
Do you want me to do it?
No, I can do it.
you poked
no,
the
he said
searches,
no. No, I can do it.
Fighting talk.
Go on.
Black History Month, Saturday the 19th of October 2019 at Stay Club, Colindale, 14 to 19 Chalcot Road, London, NW9. 5WU.
How much?
£15.
When does it start?
7.
Who's going to be there?
Paul Cannavale. Will be there.
They're going to interview you. You're going to do a Q&A.
Yeah, they're going to do an interview.
Chelsea's first black
so we're going to show that. the film, as you said, and we have the interview. And there's food on. There's food in there. They're preparing food as well, so you can digest.
You're signing your book?
I am. So you're bring your book.
Yeah, there you
don't
go.
Be shy.
His mission, inspire and equip you to overcome challenges.
And you know what? And this is not racist. Because when a guy texted me earlier today, I forget his name, and sorry for giving that. When he said to me, Canners, I'm coming down there. And I was like, wow. I know they say it's Black History, and it's not just for Black people. Come on, man. When you say Black History, just learn about this. It's not just about Black History, but this guy's a supporter of Chelsea. I'm coming down. I've got my ticket. I was like, you know what? Come and say hello to me. Make sure. So I like that. You know what I mean? It's dude, please come down. You know what I mean? It's important.
Good evening.
I want to share. And I've got I'm ready for your questions. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, this week has been busy, so let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to hear your views as well as you hear mine. Simple.
Okay? Absolutely. That is the voice of Paul Canneville on this, the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport.
Cheech.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Stanford Chidge and Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddo.
Hello.
Also joining us is Chelsea, and we're going to call him a legend, Paul Canneville as
good
well.
Evening.
Now, chaps, we're going to move on to the current crop and this weekend's game with Newcastle. But before we do that, there are still just a couple more bits of admin, Chidge, we need to clear up.
You've got another Black History Month, but the big event is under the bridge, at Stamford Bridge, isn't it, on December the 2nd. What happens with that?
That's a big event that's been going now for the last 2 years and been great. It's the achievement from the Black players and Black players that have been there. We had them last year.
Who'd you have there? Like Jimmy Floyd,
Paul Elliott, Andy Myers, Eddie Newton. This year, hopefully, Eddie Newton. Look at Michael Dubrick. Please contact us. Ashley Cole. Please contact
Ashley Cole.
Me. Frank Sinclair.
I love Frank.
We're looking at Ahmed Dwali.
Ahmed Jalali.
And Trevor Nelson. DJ, he's a prominent Chelsea supporter, and a couple more. So it's going to be big. Well,
how'd you get
it's complimentary. Trust me, a complimentary. These tickets went out in Eventbrite, No Will of Light, on 2nd of September, in the week.
Sold out.
Three of them.
Wow.
300 of them. Wowzers. Did I say three of them? I went, yeah, that might have been hard. Sorry. 300 of them went out.
It only
so
seats three.
We've got a VIP. It's a cupboard. So if you like VIP seating, get in touch with us. It's pcanneville@yahoo.com. That's again, pcanneville@yahoo.com.
All right.
If you'd like to sponsor one of the booths, VIP okay. area.
Lovely. Marvellous. And of course, on November the 16th, the night of, me and Paul, surrounded by about 100 of our best Chelsea mates, are doing the big Stamford Bridge sleepout, aren't we?
You see, when you're talking about that, see, because you brought up something and we mentioned it
we
again.
Did, didn't we? We did,
about
didn't we?
Being homeless.
Yeah.
I know so well.
Yeah.
Because I was. And how it was, you didn't know the next food. Yep. It was seriously cold. It was, I was sleeping in the car. So when you see today's environment, it just makes you think. So it's like, what's going on? Why can't we help? Why can't we house these people? It's like we ain't got money. We got government money. So why can't we help these guys? And not just guys, it's women. It's just
awful,
look at the change of weather. Like, we don't think nothing. When it's warm and hot, we don't think too much. Right. But when it's cold like these areas, now we start to think, how are these guys going
to
struggle?
I hate the cold, so I'm not looking forward to it. But I have a new sleeping bag, Paul.
Did you get one?
What
did you
got
get
a new one.
I'm looking for
Mountain,
a sleeping bag.
Some shop in Winchester called Mountain something.
Seriously.
It's a very warm one. With padding.
Oh, well, I'm looking for mine.
Got some thermals.
I'm going to be wearing thermal underwear. Long johns.
Can I just clarify exactly what you're sleeping?
Basically about, I don't know how many. We've got enough space for 200 Chelsea. They have to be Chelsea supporters. They've either got to be a member or a season ticket holder because the club are, you know, being controlling friends.
Which part of the ground are you sleeping
in? I think we're going to be in the concourse of the East Stand, which, of course, is open to the elements.
Yeah.
But undercover.
Well,
wind blows in.
Yeah, so we're all going to be sleeping out, you know, in the cold November evening. We're all raising charity. Basically, we're raising money for the Sir Oswald Stoll Foundation, who are next door, who look after homeless veterans, ostensibly, and the Glassdoor Homeless Charity, who are, I think, one of the biggest homeless charities in London. And a lot of it was done, as you may or may not know, Paul, really is a kind of a tip in the hat to Ray Wilkins, who, of course, you know, when he died, and there was that that guy came out of nowhere and said that he'd helped.
Yes, of course.
So we know that it's kind of honouring Ray in a way as well. So it's quite special to a lot of Chelsea supporters' hearts. But hopefully, we'll do some good, because homelessness is a massively big issue.
So big, I'm
and
sorry.
Awful. Shouldn't happen in 2019. Yeah. Bottom line.
Website for that one, mate.
Well, if they want to donate to me, I haven't. Paul might remember. He'll probably be on.
I'm just like.
Well, I'll tell you what I am, and I'm sure if they go to Virgin, they'll find you as well. But I'm on it's uk.virginmoneygiving.com /David Chidgey. I presume uk.virginmoneygiving.com /Paul Cannavale.
You go to the site and put the name in, and you come up. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So just go to Virgin Money Giving and put in our name.
I was thinking of getting the Jag where I was sleeping in and bringing it down there. It's got space for four people.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I told them this on a show the other week that when I used to go to Glastonbury as an 18-year-old, right, I refused to sleep in anybody's tent.
Absolutely.
I slept in cars, mate, because it was warmer.
Comfortable, but I'm more don't get me wrong.
Anyway, I went to the Big Chill. went into a hotel.
Oh, well, there you go. You're just such a glamper, aren't you?
I was playing. I was in a band.
Fair enough. We move on. Of course, it is Newcastle this weekend. Six successive Premier League home games. Chelsea have beaten Newcastle. 17 goals to 3 conceded. I mean, that is pretty decent. Paul, your opinion of the current crop and how Frank Lampard's doing so far this season?
I'm enjoying it, loving it. Football's been played and he's given these youngsters an opportunity and playing time, which was everybody's, quote last year, that we didn't play these young players at all. And Lampard's given them those chances.
What do you think of Frank's management then so far? Because he's early, he's new in the game, really. How do you think he's doing?
You know what? Mindly, calmly, he doesn't look out of sight, sync. I think he's doing it correctly, should I say.
He speaks well, doesn't he?
He does speak well, but I think, you know what helps? He's got a great backstop.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the help. And that's what he's got in. And he's got these old boys coming back, the Coley. I saw Joe Cole down there.
Yeah.
Doing a bit myself.
Down at Cobham.
And Ashley Cole. And he comes in there 3 times a week. And those youngsters.
Is Ash doing his badges then?
Well, I would have thought so, to be honest, because he's helping. I don't know which age group, but they won a competition and that was under his guidance. And
I bet you he'd be a good coach, you know.
I'll tell you what, why not?
Who would not
be so knowledgeable?
That mentality he's got.
Then, come on, Ashley. Come on, man. He's seen it, done that. If anybody can't learn from this boy, something's wrong.
Yeah.
So you've got McAnally coming. Oh, man, come on. We've got some players here. Yeah. Trust me. Andy Myers is doing his bit.
Yeah.
I love what Andy does. Yeah.
Eddie's still down there. Yeah.
Love Eddie. Love that. So, you know, I mean, I think there's more surprises
there's a real
to come.
There's a real boot room type thing going on down
there. Trust me.
Which
and
is
I think
really
that is
intriguing
the system.
Me.
of helping where Lampard is right now. Yeah. Because everybody, even myself, I thought it might have been too early for him to come when he came back from Derby. And I thought it'd be too big for him. But you know what? He's come out and he's been doing well. He's done. I like what he's been doing.
Yeah, football's good too.
Oh,
attacking football,
Paul. Enjoy it.
Yeah,
we know what we need to tighten up, and I think you'll do that when the window opens. But yeah, we get that.
I'm not so sure.
Don't you think he's tightening up?
Well, it sets a precedent, and that's the trouble.
No,
it says
I don't
you're not quite good enough. It says to the kids.
No,
you don't.
We
think
can't
so?
Know. I think because we do. Yeah, look, we got some out an injury. We need a dominant leader. I can't say. If you honestly tell me, who's dominant leader to say who's that captain for us?
Well, I think Jorginho's going that way. I really do think that's
seriously?
At the moment. Yeah, seriously. I think he's expressing his personality more and more, actually, because they made him vice-captain. He's apparently fantastic in the changing room.
I totally agree with you that, and I couldn't stand him last year, and I think fair play to him.
Yeah.
Fair play to him. My captain in this side is Rudiger, mate.
That's what I'm saying. He's got to come in.
He's got absolute cojones.
That boy gets upset. Any slight thing, he gets upset, and that's what we need in a leader.
There you go.
It's true, yeah.
They bought them boys.
Well, perhaps Jorginho being vice-captain is the right position for him to be.
That's
but then what happens
see.
To poor old Dave, if that's the situation? Are we suggesting that Dave might be given the chidge for everybody at home?
We're not like to
does
say
a rather significant elbow chidge.
We're
does.
Not like to lead that way.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
We're not like to get rid of anybody, but
you know what? Boot him upstairs.
Yeah.
Boot him upstairs.
We do.
We all love Dave.
I love Dave, actually, you know. I'd hate to see.
He's been better the last few games.
Dave Chappelle.
Because Willian has been so good. Because Willian has been so fantastic.
You know what? I was concerned about Willian.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought he wasn't enjoying himself because he never smiled or nothing. Mm. And I thought.
He looks a bit sulky sometimes.
Yeah,
doesn't he?
He does. And I'm thinking, when you do that, you think you want to move.
Do you know what, mate? I know what you mean, but I think we read that wrong in Willian.
I actually
think that Willian is an absolute brilliant professional, and he has very high standards.
So he
and I think
to
he
do...
gets a cob on when it's not going his way or the team's way or the teammates aren't putting it in.
Right.
I think that he's been liberated by Hazard going, and I think he's taken on a lot of responsibility. I love him. I think he's a super player.
Do you know what
I like most? He looks like Jairzinho. Remember that Brazilian winger?
Yeah.
I love him.
I thought he needed that.
Other footballers in the team, Chidge, so that we should be pleased?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about that. Well, we know Alonso looks like George Michael.
Of course he does. Yeah.
Back to the game, Chelsea-Newcastle. I would love to, don't get me wrong, I'm always loving to Premier, sorry.
Wow, Paul, fantastic.
I know, because I wanted
Paul
to get back
leader,
into the game. Here we go. And you know what? International's all over. Don't get me wrong, everybody's back on the Premiership. And don't get me wrong, I think, you know when you take some time off, you can get a little stiff.
Yeah.
But you know what? A game like this, and at home, could be an advantage to get 3 points back again.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
Absolutely.
Thank
and
you.
We will be speaking. Very, I like
good.
That. Yeah,
thank
good
you.
From you, Paul Cannavale. We're going to have ex-Newcastle midfielder Lee Clark to talk about that very game next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Well, things we haven't talked about.
Can we talk about what the score's going to be?
We can. on the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport.
We're live.
This is Matt Beadle with Jonathan Kidd, Stamford Chidge and Paul Cannavale as well. We are going to be looking ahead to this clash with Newcastle. Waiting to get Lee Clark on the line. He's not here just yet. So, gents, we're just going to continue with our discussion. And a certain Callum Hudson-Odoi bagged two very decent goals.
Did you see the goals,
yes,
mate? Did you see the corkers?
Unbelievable. I mean, that is a great sign of someone who's bang back on form.
Do you know what? I thought the first one was better than the second one. I mean, that snapshot volley. What a player.
Yeah.
What a player. What do you think of Hudson-Odoi, mate?
You know what?
Is he as good as you were?
I like the way he does.
I like the way he didn't answer that.
No.
He doesn't beat players the way that Paul did.
No, he doesn't.
True.
He does. Yeah, but you do like when he gets hold of that ball, that's his first instinct. Don't get me wrong. But I've got to put my hand out. His instinct in front of goal is a lot better than mine. I wasn't a finisher. And he'll get that opportunity the way he plays. He can cut
in. Is that because he plays more centrally than you do? He seems to come in much more. Whereas you were very much a...
I was outside.
You were winger all the time. That's right.
I had to provide that cross for the strikers to fall in.
Was it the Fulham goal that you were originally going to cross and you didn't and you had a shot and it went in? Was that the one?
I don't know.
I remember because I was there. I was there.
He's going over some goals.
That was on a corner.
That was the corner.
That was the corner.
I love this. We tend to have this type of chat, don't we? And we might have discussed this last week.
We did.
Well, just in terms of Paul and listen, as fans and journos, we tend to remember everything. So we remember everything that you did, but you just
don't remember.
No, you're in the moment and you don't recall it.
Because when you mentioned that Carlisle, I was like, Carlisle, was I there?
Yeah,
but you scored two.
I went, goals, Paul.
What? I really. Yeah, but that was how. You know what? It's a shame that games weren't being televised.
Yeah, I know.
If you understand, and that came so late. It's just for me, that would be memories, just to have those goals, to see those goals be played in certain little games. It keep telling me I played against Man United and I played at Liverpool. I played Liverpool and we won.
3-1.
And I was thinking, who was the players? Yeah. You know what I mean? Who was the Liverpool players? I remember Hansen, and only because I keep seeing him when he was on the sports or whatever. But I remember that the Douglas, the Hansen, Craig Johnston.
Craig Johnston. Lawrenson.
Yes. And now who's the left back? Left back.
Beglin.
At the time.
Beglin. And then the right back. Yeah. Who's the right back?
At that time.
What
Neil. Yeah. Phil Neil.
Phil Neil.
Was it Phil Neil still?
Yeah, roasted it him. Roasted him. I gave him a hard time.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Never came back from it.
Did he not like joy. That? Did he not like that?
Yeah, very good.
All right, boss. Yes, boss.
Yeah, but they were formidable players. Liverpool was a big side. And just remind, when you mention it, I think, oh my God, I was playing against him.
Yeah. And beat them, mate.
Trust me, yeah. Makes me feel young.
It's so funny how you don't remember it.
Swear, Lord.
Do you know what? I was on a show with Paul Mortimer. Morts.
Lovely. Well, you know Morts, don't you?
Yeah. And I found a clip of him because it was the week that United were playing Palace. Of course, lost to Palace in the dying moments this season.
Yeah.
And it had been, I think, 22 games since Palace had been able to beat United in top flight football. And the last, that record started in a game in the early 90s in which Morts scored the opening goal against Peter Schmeichel. I quizzed him and said who scored the goal, and he racked off all these Palace players. Eventually I said Paul Mortimer. He was like, what? And I showed him and he was like, he rose at the far post and he was like, I cannot remember.
I wouldn't be the same. You would have had to remind me if I was playing in that game. Trust me, certain goals people can, as you played when we played Arsenal. I played when we played Arsenal. I can't recollect. I really can't. You know what I mean? So,
mind you, I've talked to Kerry Dixon, and he remembers every single one of his
Kerry would
goals.
Know
every
where he one. Was, the position, what he was doing. He might have been doing the studs.
Absolutely right. Yeah,
he would know every part.
Unbelievable.
Of the 90 minutes. Yeah. He'd know. That's like... the truth. In every game.
I've talked to him.
We got that impression. We've got that impression.
I can't believe how he does it.
He corrects and you if you come up with one something, doesn't he?
Remember that game?
No, it wasn't like that.
I do. Yes. I was waiting on the far post and that speedy took off the ball off me. I could have had a hat-trick. But don't worry about it.
He remembers the goal. He remembers the goals he should have scored as well as the ones he scored.
How do you do that, bro? Seriously, he's good. He's good at that.
He remembers whoever didn't pass to him.
Who didn't pass it, and I could have got a goal.
And he's borne a grudge ever since.
Yeah. Seriously. He's so funny.
We actually had a good chat with Kerry, didn't we, about whether he could play in the current era. You yourself, as a winger, how would you fancy your chances in football today?
Alive. A lot more. I think I'd had to concentrate a lot more on finishing because I do get myself in those positions. But I'm not confident. Instead of like, I notice how I think they place balls when they're shooting, and I'm placing obviously for the stretch over the keeper to pass it. With me, I just hit it,
wallop it,
and think, you know what I mean? Yeah, the speed or the pace of the ball would go in there. But instead of now, these days, they're placing balls.
That one where the left winger comes in with his right foot and places it in the corner was something
I never
remember taking place. It was more that he'd get into position and just whack it.
They know now.
Do you know what? I it's really interesting what we were talking about earlier because, you know, you had some fantastic performances on some absolutely awful, you know, cabbage patches of a football pitch. So I wonder how you would play on the... I mean, the pitches are like glass now. I mean, how would you play on those? Would it be easier?
To be honest, we played a couple of games, the old boys down at Cobham, and to see the pitches on that, and that pitch to Fulham, because it was a lot better than Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
And even today, I think it is. But anyway, so flat. And like when you move the ball, you just knew that when you hit it, you knew it was going well. Wouldn't it go seamless?
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh my gosh, if we'd ever played on pitches like this, the boots I was wearing. I remember, because a lot to say with these boots nowadays.
Yeah.
The light, the measure, the colours. I don't know what it is about the boots. But back then, it was either the Adidas World Cups, it was either your Nikes,
Puma Kings.
Yeah,
I had a pair of Puma Kings.
Were the Kings. Yeah. Before we started in them, the Kings.
Kevin Keegan Patrick's, I had.
Where I got that, I was telling you before, I'll tell you today, I said it today, and I when I first, I was at Hindenburg. And I just come out of Borstal, got down there, and got into the first team at the age of 16, 17. And the manager at Batsford or whatever, and he said, look, because I was talking about I had these boots, Winfield, from Wolves.
Winfield, right.
You remember Wolves?
Yeah.
Do you remember Wolves?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big store for us. A great store.
Pick a mix. Never forget Pick a mix.
I looked at his boots, he said, meet me. And I didn't know why. And we went to the Steve Perriman sports shop at the time when he made
really
it. Yeah, and he come in there, go and pick yourself a boots. I went, what? Go and pick yourself some suit boots. I went like, oh, do I pick some expensive ones or what? And I went and I picked these little cheap boots, and I said, and I was like, yeah, I got these. What are you doing? I said, pick some boots. I said, what? And that was 30 quid. So I'm saying, I saw the Puma Kings tonight. And I kept going past them like that. Above, that's the boot, man. You know when you press the lever and the flap that went over like that.
Yeah.
I went there and I thought,
yeah, that was so essential. That
trust
flap.
Me, that
oh,
flap.
Wow, that flap.
When you put that over,
So
I put that and I went and I thought he might say no. He said, "Are you sure?" And I went, "Yeah." Are you sure? Yeah. I'll tell you what, they were £89 them boots back then. And
that's a lot of money then.
What do you think? Yeah. And I played,
but
with
they had
boots.
The flap. Paul.
But what was so
they
funny?
Had the flap.
Brought them Chelsea with me, and then I was so comfortable. Chelsea got sponsored by Adidas, didn't they? So we had to wear
and
Adidas,
and you weren't allowed to wear them.
Oh no!
Everybody's got. So I took the stripes off, didn't I? Of the Adidas. I've glued them on up here.
But they used to do that. They used to paint them on.
Yeah, I had to. In the 70s. Yeah. There was nowhere going out until they cotton on. Yeah. Yeah. We had to change them. Yeah, we had to wear
I bought a pair of boots on the back of Charlie Buchan's Football Monthly. Stylo Matchmakers.
Are those?
Yeah, they were great. They were blow cut.
Jeff,
predictions.
Yeah. It has been wonderful. Yes, very quick predictions before we go. Cheers.
3-0.
3-0 to the Chelsea. Five successive Premier League wins for Frank Lampard, that'll be. First time in his managerial
Newcastle
career.
Newcastle can't score for Toffee.
Paul?
I'm going to be realistic because I see where list Newcastle are. 3-1. I don't like when we give away goals, but Premier is obviously different and international, and the boys must be hungry to play games. So, I think there's going to be goals. Our boys will be hungry.
4-1. And there'll
just
be
gonna
a
say that.
Ludicrous Kepa mistake.
Just
lovely
say
stuff.
That.
This has been the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Thoroughly enjoyed this, gents. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.